two stories of events unique to Luke, with Luke's emphasis on repentance and change. Two tragedies, one about these Galilean people who went to Jerusalem to make their sacrifices. Pontius Pilate hated them, so slew them and mixed their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. Grisly, gruesome business. And the people ask, did these Galileans who came to such a sticky end, were they more sinful than all the other Galileans? And Jesus says, of course not. And then to even it out, not Galileans this time, but Jerusalemites. They were walking by the Tower of Siloam and it went and fell on them, 18 of them, and killed them. And the question arises again. Were these 18 Jerusalemites more sinful than everybody else, and was this their punishment? Of course not. It's the same arguments and the same issue as the book of Job. So there's Job with disaster of disaster upon disaster falling upon him, and his friends, so-called friends anyway, say, oh, you must have been very bad to have all this happen to you. And he's horrified by their response. He says, I'm no worse than you lot. So why has it happened to me? It's nothing to do with whether I'm a sinner or not, because I've been very faithful to God, more faithful than you. And yet all this has happened. So there's no connection between how bad we are and the horrors that might happen to us. Although, of course, in brackets, one has to say, we can bring some dreadful things upon ourselves. A bad driver, a car, can have an awful crash, and it's the bad driver's fault for doing it. But in the end, God doesn't treat us in this way. God doesn't send calamities upon us because we've done wrong. But the story in the Gospel says, but whatever the issue is, you all need to repent. Galileans, Jerusalemites, the lot of you, you all need to repent, which means think carefully about who you are, what you're doing. Turn round, change your ways. You all need to change your ways. Repent and change your ways. If ever we're going to have a peaceful world, fulfilled human beings, we need to repent, be sorry for our rebellions, and turn a new page and live a different life, which I guess is what Lent is all about, not only for Galileans and Jerusalemites, but for you and for me. To think carefully who we are, what we've done with the gifts that we've got. How faithful are we to the teaching of Jesus? Do we bend it to suit our own needs? So we need to say sorry for our rebellions and turn a page and live differently. And then there's this story of the fig tree. Well, the fig tree appears in Mark, Matthew and Luke, but each give it a different slant. Mark says that Jesus and his friends come to this fig tree hungry and looking for food. And it's barren, so they're furious and Jesus curses it and it dies. And the model of that for Mark is looking at God's people. How fruitful have they been? not very fruitful at all, so they need to wither and die. And then Matthew comes along with a similar story of hungry Jesus and his friends coming to this fig tree and find it barren. And they're furious, and Jesus curses it and it dies. But Matthew adds a twist to that. Matthew says, the disciples say, how did he do that? And Jesus says, if you have faith, you'll do far greater things than that. So this fig tree used two different times. And then Luke comes along and gives us another story of the fig tree. This fig tree grows in a landowner's field. And the landowner's fed up with it because it just doesn't bear any fruit. And so the landowner says to the gardener, get rid of it. It's not worth anything. Get rid of it. And the landowner is fed up with it. But the gardener says, well, give it another chance. Give it another year. Maybe in another year it will bear fruit. And Luke's twist of that is God's patience. That yes, we've all made a mess. We all need to turn our way, change our ways. But God is very patient with us. And God waits for that glorious moment when we change our ways and walk in his footsteps and do his work. So, a great passage about repentance and changing our ways and going in a different direction, and God's enormous patience with us. God doesn't just destroy us, but gives us chance after chance after chance. And how relevant is that to our day? Well, our world, in all its pain, wherever we look, there is tragedy and trouble and need throughout our world. And God is patient with it. But God wants our world to change its ways, to turn direction and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. But not only our world, our nation. What a mess. How anxious are we about this coming week? And where are we going? And our nation needs to reflect, think again, change its ways, and begin to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and take notice of what he says. And listening to people in our country, there's a lot of discussions in pubs and in tennis clubs or whatever other club, a lot of discussion about what a mess we're in and what's the way forward. People are tearing their hair, trying to make sense of it all, trying to find a way forward. And young people are struggling. Where can they find direction? Where can they find purpose? Where can they find meaning? And of course, it's all here in all that Jesus teaches us. And it's up to you and to me to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and help people to turn again to God's ways of justice, truth, and love. And the church as a whole needs to repent, for we haven't always been faithful witnesses. A few years ago, I was invited to give some lectures in St. Petersburg on biblical matters. And the people who invited me introduced me to lots of young people, and it was fascinating to meet these young people because in their lifetime, Christianity was banned. You were not allowed to be a Christian or go to church. It was all banned against the law. But now they're free to go, and the churches have been painted, at least on the outside, and they're free to worship. But the vast majority of young people don't go anywhere near. And I asked them, why don't you go? You were banned once, now you're free to go. Why don't you go? And they said, why would you want to be part of an organisation which is on the wrong side of every issue? Why do you want to be part of an organisation that's on the wrong side of every issue? And I said, can you tell me what you mean? I think I knew. They said, well, the Tsar, tyranny. Whose side was the church on? The Tsar's. Women. Whose side is the church on? Men. And all this about gay and lesbian rights. Whose side is the church on? Certainly not theirs. Why would you want to be part of a group? And that made me think about our churches. Are we sure we're walking the right way and giving the right guidance to our nation? So repent, change, turn our ways. And it's important for you and I too, as individuals, to look very carefully. Who we are, what are we doing? God is very patient with us, and God will forgive and give us a new chance. Last week, I went to the Festival Hall, as I regularly do, to a concert. It was a concert, and the second half was Beethoven's Ninth, an amazing symphony, as you all know. Four movements with a big orchestra, huge choir, four soloists, and the poor choir and four soloists sit there for three movements and never sing a note. And the first three movements struggle with all the issues of life, its ups and downs, its joys and sorrows. But then comes the fourth movement, and you hear again the strains of the first and the second and the third, and they're discarded. And then, out of the darkness and the stillness, comes that amazing tune. Da 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 da. You can join in. Da 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 da. Well done. All the music set to Goethe's glorious, glorious poem about humankind learning to love one another and to praise the glorious God who makes us all. That glorious hymn of hope and joy for the future. So in these difficult times, let us use Lent and hope other people will use Lent to think carefully, to repent and be sorry, to turn again and follow Jesus, who is the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. So be it.